There is a word called generation, which plays a very focal part in our ultimate ascension. And I'd like to look at it with you, to see it not through the eyes of the Spirit first, but rather through the eyes of the creature. The creature sees birth, a child. And this birth becomes a mortal consciousness and grows up into an acquiring individual. One whose complete outlook is to secure, to attain, to get. And from this process, from cradle to grave, there is a complete activity in the tomb of matter. Now this birth, which begins a cycle of material events, is actually something quite different than the child has been taught. So that somewhere there is a cosmic wave of thought moving through the universe, evolving into that which we call the birth of a child. That cosmic wave of thought is imitating the generative and regenerative process of infinite spirit. Infinite spirit maintaining its perfect universe perpetually is ever in a state of generation and regeneration, so that infinity is being infinite at all times. And this process of constant, eternal generation becomes that imitated idea in the cosmic mind. And then the imitated cosmic thought, which moves through the universe, evolves and emerges as the birth of a child. But it also emerges as the birth of a blade of grass, the birth of an ocean, the birth of a planet, the birth of a fish, the birth of a fowl. All generation on the earth, all generation throughout this physical cosmos, is thought moving from a cosmic mind which is imitating the infinite spiritual being. And as a result, we have created on this earth an impersonator, a double, so that somewhere on this earth there is a double for you. And that double sleeps in your bed. That double lives in your home. That double speaks with your name and uses your voice and your body. But all of it, the complete mental, the complete appearing self, is the double of your own being, appearing on earth through cosmic thought, imitating your very self. And it is for that reason that he is told, turn ye. Turn ye and live. Whosoever should smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. And as we look at that statement, we see that the right cheek is the material consciousness of the creature who does not know that he is truly the self, who does not know that there is a spiritual universe where he stands, which his very material self is imitating. And so he is told to turn the other cheek, to turn to the spiritual consciousness, which will enable him to see not what appears, but that which is. We find then that man is turned about the wrong way. He's moving away from himself, under the belief that he is moving toward what he desires. And while he is moving toward what he desires, he is moving away from that which he is seeking. And so regeneration becomes an important theme in the Bible. The generation into matter is the imitation. The regeneration is the turning about from the false direction of a self that is but an imitation, a turning of the other cheek, a dropping of the net on the right side of the ship, an ability to move in such a way that our consciousness is now turned toward our own self instead of away from it. And this turning toward self becomes the direction of ascension. As you look out into your material world, redeeming it, becoming conscious of the fact that it is an imitation of what is there, feeling the forms, the pictures, the activities, the good and the bad fall away, feeling the descent of the light, feeling the presence of angels, you become aware of your spiritual universe, in which the allness of the Father is expressing in perpetual harmony, and you know that no matter what a fool on earth may do, always his true spiritual self is maintaining its perfect identity as the perfect image and likeness of divine intelligence. We know that we are that spiritual self which does not perish, while the form itself, the human creature form, is laboring for the meat that does perish. We come face to face with a startling fact that most every activity of our human lives is built around attaining that which must perish. And as we see this staggering fact stare us straight in the eye, we know the time has come to labor not for that meat which perisheth, but rather for the light of our own soul. We look at our spiritual universe now, letting the seed of our own spiritual consciousness find firm root in the imperishable reality of our own soul. We let the human ego open up like a seed, so that the light of the soul may come through. We stand in a different universe. In the midst of the world about us, we stand in the invisible. And now as you move into the invisible, into spiritual selfhood, into spiritual activity, into spiritual harmony, into that which is ever eternal, you are looking at spirit, but it is not enough. You must now turn around. And as you turn around, you are facing out from spirit, and spirit is looking through you. Spirit becomes your eyes. Spirit becomes the activity that pulses through your being, and where you walk, no longer is there a creature. There is now spirit expressing, and the visible form is the point where the expression comes forth into that which is tangible and visible. Now you don't have a brain that weighs 3 ounces and ends right there. It extends unto infinity. You don't have 2 eyes that end right there. They extend unto infinity. In other words, all that the visible now is a series of push buttons. Each button is a button to infinity. The fullness of infinity is shining through your eyes. The fullness of infinity is shining through your brain. The fullness of infinity is coming through your heart. Every organ of the body becomes a front for the activity of infinite spirit. We are turned. We are that place where infinity is expressing itself. And this is only the beginning of regeneration. As we remain true to this, as we stand fast in the knowledge that infinity is expressing where the world sees me, we extend this. Infinity is expressing where the world sees my neighbor. Infinity is expressing everywhere. There is no place on the globe where infinity is not itself being itself, masked by the veil of matter. We are unveiling the Christ within ourselves, within our neighbor, within every blade of grass. Wherever we go, we are that point which is not looking at matter. We are that point which has come to the place where we have denied the outer self. We are following the inner Christ. We are letting the inner Christ live itself through the mask of matter which I had been, but now refuse to be. And so you are infinity. You are that Christ realized, which is the point in spirit where a man or a woman becomes aware that I am the self, not the imitation of self called creature, but here where I stand is infinity realized, and I standing here am the Christ through which this infinite perfection can now flow into this world. I am turned about. I am no longer acquiring. I am no longer getting. I am no longer seeking. I am now giving. I am now letting ascension continue. I am letting that which is ever progressive flow through me in its own speed, its own rate, its own method, its own way, its own form of expression. I have become the servant of the Spirit. And this is the beginning of ascension. Now let's look at some places in the Bible where this is made quite clear to us, so that we can see the Master functioning in this world on his terms, not on the terms that the church has put upon it, not on the terms that mortal mind has decreed, but on the terms of rebirth, regeneration, ascension, a restoration of the soul, a release of the power of the soul. We look at a little place in Paul, very infrequently looked at, the epistle to Titus. In his so-called return to the Father's house, man has thought he could do it by goodness. by personal righteousness, by a high degree of morality and virtue. But in this letter to Titus, Paul declares, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by human righteousness, not by our good human deeds. Man has been too easily satisfied. But regeneration is a complete rebirth. Regeneration is a complete release from even the man who would do good, even the man who would be righteous. Regeneration is removing the double standard of value, eliminating the creature completely. Ascension cannot stop at any level. Ascension is always the law. We must continue to ascend. And so we must step aside to let Christ, which alone can lead the way of ascension. And so we reach the point of Paul, I live, yet not I. I'm doing no good as a human being whatsoever. I of mine own human self can do nothing. But Christ liveth my life, and what Christ doeth is the regeneration of the creature from man of earth to Son of God. And so now we're living consciously in heaven. We are consciously discarding the belief that I am the creature who lives on earth. I am the self, which is heaven itself. I am the spirit. I am accepting my identity as the living spirit of God. And I am here to shower forth the fullness of the qualities of that spirit. Now there is an activity of the Holy Ghost, which the world had forgotten about, which the world had lost almost until the moment when the Master was able to preach remission of sins, forgiveness. This remission is the release from the creature. It is never human righteousness. It is never someone saying to you, I forgive you. It is never sitting in a confessional box. The remission of sins is the baptism of the Spirit. Baptized from above. Released from this cosmic television. Released from the cosmic concepts of a material world which has to seek an external God. A God apart, a God separate. And now we are walking in our kingdom as the very expression of it. We are not seeking a God. For that which I would seek, I am. My spirit is the living God. My spirit is the law. My spirit is the activity. My spirit is the activity of love. We are above the law of matter. We are above the law of karma. We are above the law of sowing and reaping. We are the expression of love itself. For having been baptized from above, you break the law of matter, you break the law of karma, you break the law of opposites, you break the lacks and the limitations of the creature, you break the law of finity, you break the law of mortality. You have perceived that cosmic television is an imitator of the kingdom of God. It takes infinity and reduces it in concept to finitude. It reduces immortality to mortality. It reduces eternality to a sense of time. It reduces the fullness of God, the perfection of God, to the appearance of both good and of evil. But all this is broken because in our sowing to the Spirit, we break the law of matter and come into the law of love, of divine love, a love that lifts us to a place where we can look out in a way we may have never seen before, a way that has a flame within it, enabling you to look at anyone. So completely encased in the glory of Spirit that you find it impossible not to forgive, to look above what appears. For there is in you a kinship established with every one and everything on the earth. A kinship that defies description, because you know, without knowing why, that there, no matter who may be, the love of you is seeing something that the human sense of you had never seen. You are recognizing someone before you and seeing in that someone a quality that even they had not seen in themselves. It is as if you had one desire on this earth, that you wanted other people to know you as you are. And you wanted to say to them, look at me. I don't appear to be too much to you. But truly, if you knew me deep down inside as I am, you would like me. You would feel a kinship with me, because there's something in me that I cannot put forth and express to you that is far greater than I am. And why can't you see that in me? It's there. That's what we would all like to say to everyone. See me as I know I am, not as I appear. See me as the Christ, if you will. And yet, if we are to do unto others as we would have others do unto us, then we find ourselves looking at this other and saying to myself, I know what's on your mind. You're caught in the jungle of human thought. Somehow you cannot extricate yourself from this material being. And somehow you cannot locate that which is your soul. And there is something in you that wants me to see you as you are. Something in you that if you could speak it, you would say, can you not see that I am the living Christ? Take off this garment of my form and the words I speak and the anger that wells up in my hands and my face and my eyes, and try to understand, I don't want to be this way. I can't escape it. I can't control it. Look deep into me and see who I am. And suddenly, you have that quality without anyone saying to you, see who I am. And without you saying to anyone else, see who I am, you recognize that Christ in your fellow man because you have found it in yourself. The moment you turned around and became that place where Spirit was expressing out to the world, a new kind of love was regenerated in you. A new kind of wisdom. A new kind of power. A transcendental kind. Lifting you above your mortal limitations, above the creaturely self. For now Christ, living itself in you, recognizes itself in your neighbor, your friend, your enemy. It makes no difference who stands there. The Christ of you leaps high above the appearance and says within you, I know who stands there. Forgiveness, of course, now is automatic. For what is there to forgive when you behold the Christ? Sins are remitted. But all of it begins with your own individual turning. For only the Christ of you can love in that way. Only the Christ of you can receive from the infinite that full, total expression which is necessary on earth for this and every succeeding moment. It becomes very necessary then to make a conscious turning from the individual of matter who has gone to his inner self for a spiritual regeneration 3 times a day, or who now goes forth to do the righteous human deeds, or who listens every now and then for what the Spirit might have to say. And we go above this to the realization that 24 hours of every day, it is my function on this earth to be that place called Christ Realized, where the fullness of Spirit expresses its infinite intelligence where I stand. That becomes our quest, our glory, our purpose, our goal, and it becomes the Christ consciousness. Which is vital to the attainment of even the first heaven. That first heaven is man turned about expressing the glory of Christ on earth as it is in heaven. Even before transition, it is the regenerated man, free now from the cosmic lie, free now from the belief that there is life in matter, free now from the hypnosis of finding, seeking, and striving to acquire the meat that perisheth. Now he has spiritual discernment. Now he can let the pictures go by. Now he can rest in the knowledge that there's nothing more to acquire. For all is Spirit, and I am that Spirit which is all. The days of acquiring are over. There are no more tomorrows. The days of time are over. All that tomorrow can bring is what I am today. The fullness of my spiritual being will never be more than it is this moment. And now you're living out of this spiritual being instead of the creature who is trying to make a better tomorrow for himself. You are in the eternal now. And this is the way to ascension. God has made man upright, said Solomon. But man has sought out many inventions. We begin as the Christ. We show forth through cosmic hypnosis as the creature. And not knowing self, we seek out many inventions. Vanity, greed, ego, acquisition, all spun out in a time that isn't there, until one moment they are no longer there and neither are we. We have followed the path of nothingness called mortality. And this is what is said here then in Titus. We were saved by the washing through regeneration. Now, if you go back to Noah, you will see the symbology very quickly. Noah, his wife, three sons, three daughter-in-laws, the eight of them, and a flood. This was the turning, you see, the erasure of mortal consciousness, starting out fresh, a regeneration. That was a very subtle way of doing it. It was a little too subtle, but it had to be done to break ground for the big event that was ahead. Dying on the cross was the big event. It was the same thing as Noah's Ark. Dying on the cross was saying it more specifically and more visibly, with even less symbology, but that seems to have missed the mark with the average man of the street. Dying on the cross, and then only 10 days later, walking, directing the disciples once more. 3 days later, touch me not, I have not yet ascended to his mother. But go ahead and tell the disciples that I ascend now to my Father and to their Father. I ascend now. Do you see, the death of humanhood was necessary to the birth of ascension? Do you see that until we die to humanhood, ascension does not happen? That death on the cross is the symbology of the death of the human consciousness which never existed. The death of the false consciousness of mortality removes us from the belief that I live in a physical form. And while we cling to the belief that I live in a physical form, we have missed the Ark of Noah, and we have missed the dying on the cross. For the form that then walks and finally does ascend is the symbology of your ascended consciousness when you come out of the belief that you live in the form. When you're turned around, when you're moving in this universe, not in a form but as spirit itself expressing itself through what appears to be the form, you are ascending. You are released. You are moving towards self. You are being one with self. And the duality of the double on earth who has been impersonating you is being overcome. You can almost feel the changing wavelengths of consciousness as you pass yourself. As you pass the false you, which now is descending, the real you is ascending. You can feel the change in your outlook, your way of life, your thoughts. You're changing human thought for divine thought, human thought for Christ thought. And when Christ thought is on the throne, what can externalize but the divine idea? When our human consciousness engages in human thought, this is what shows forth in our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our words, our activities. When the descent of human thought has begun and the ascent of divine thought is taking over, that which is within shows forth without. We're now moving in the tree of life. We have come out of the tree of good and evil. Now there's a very special place in here where Jesus sums up all of this. It's in Matthew, the 19th chapter, the 27th verse. And although we have never read that in this class, it now becomes very pertinent to this particular session. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. And what shall we have therefore? And Jesus replies, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. You see, his outward self is showing forth this regeneration that we are all to follow. You who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit up on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's making it very clear that what he's been doing is pointing the method of regeneration from generation. He had even said to his disciples, O perverse generation, referring to human birth, the cosmic hypnosis. And now his regeneration was the rebirth, the return to the original, which was being imitated by the human birth. There can be no doubt about it. His entire path was one of regeneration, being reborn of the Spirit. In other words, becoming conscious of your own spiritual identity instead of the fallen sense of identity into matter. That is the meaning of regeneration. And then, in Galatians, Paul tells us that if you are led of the Spirit, You are not under the law. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is a continuation of the idea of regeneration. For we now who are led of the Spirit are that Spirit itself. We have dissolved the extra baggage of a human consciousness, and where you stand, the Spirit is expressing in divine sequence at the level of every need that presents itself. You are showing forth then the Holy Ghost activity. You are not being stagnant. You are not trying to find a level at which you can taper off into a comfortable human life. And the reason we learn not to do this is because spiritually you are educated to know that God can never be mocked. There is no power on this earth to prevent your ascension. Even should you will it to be so, all you can find from that is friction. The friction of your will against the will of the Spirit. So we are told that every tongue must declare his name. Every tongue must confess his name. Every knee must bow. But to what? To our own true self. When you confess his name, you confess his name to be your name. When you bow the knee, you bow the knee of the creature to its own true self. The sins that you remit are the realization that I never was the creature. I am the Christ. Now, as you walk forth being spirit, there can be no mortal body that is your concern. There can be no mortal life that is your concern. There can be no mortal decision that is your concern. There cannot be a five-sense way of living. There cannot be a taking human thought. There cannot be a sin, a disease, or a death. There cannot be a lack or a limitation. This was in the world of the creature. You accept your spiritual identity, and now you are not finite. Nor can you accept thoughts of being finite. Now you are not mortal. Now you are not in time. Now you are trusting your spiritual identity to live by its own grace. You are trusting it to recognize the truth through every veil that may be placed before it. You are accepting the kingdom of God within as a living reality. There's no need for discussion. There's no need for argument. There is only I living itself where you stand. I, the perfect, eternal, timeless, immortal self, I am thee. Do you see that this is the place we must come to? This is the place we must ever be at. This is the first place to establish in consciousness the moment the day dawns. Unless you walk out into the world as this I, you're walking out as a separated creature. You're walking out as something finite, something very vulnerable, and something which must perish. For this perishable self will always seek that which perisheth because it knows no better. But the day that begins as the imperishable I will be a blessing unto all who come into your consciousness. You will discover that ascension is never ending. Ascension is the continuous law of spirit. Ascension within self. Until there's a turnover, as if the ego outgrows itself and just flaps right over. And now you can't find where you begin or where you end. All is I. I am in total synchrony with my infinite self. Grace is living as I. You've had those moments. You know what it means. This is to be a permanent dispensation. We may appear as mortals, but we must live as angels. Finally, Paul tells us in Corinthians about a new kind of righteousness. We'll call this the new righteousness. Now, this passage you've all heard many times. It's important to hear it in this particular context today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is the new righteousness. When no longer is there a human righteousness, but there is only the righteousness of Christ self-expressing where you stand. The Christ which knows nothing of a material world, of conditions, of sin, of disease, of death. The Christ which has transcended all of the concepts that we have entertained. That Christ looking out of your eyes is the new righteousness. That Christ thinking out of your brain is the new thinking, the new thought, divine thought. And that Christ functioning as your being becomes the expression on this earth of heaven. that consciousness of the Christ, which was our goal, is also our identity, is also our permanent dispensation, our life eternal, our being. And it is that which we are at this moment, not tomorrow, not in 1,000 tomorrows, will we be more than that Christ which we are at this moment. All time for us ceases that we may stand in reality. And let the fullness of that reality come through in the now, accepting it in the now, knowing it in the now, letting divine thought become our consciousness, lifted, looking unto me, above personality, living out of divine principle, completely free of the material considerations, in infinite trust, in infinite self-assurance, above that consciousness which, because it is human, cannot walk upon the waters of spirit.